with the sweep and fury of the resurrection. There's a new world a-coming. Today and every Sunday at this hour, WMCA, in cooperation with the Citywide Citizens Committee on Harlem, brings you a series of vivid programs dramatizing the inner meaning of Negro life, based on the prize-winning bestseller, New World A-Coming, by Roy Utley. Featuring Lee Whipper, star of the film Oxbow Incident, Miss Muriel Smith, star of Carmen Jones, and as narrator, Mr. Canada Lee.
Today, we want to turn back the pages of history 100 years or more. Back to those infant days when the country was in swaddling clothes. Back to those days when the young nation was learning to speak up for her rights. If we can get a better understanding of those crucial times, events of today may seem clearer. This is particularly true in understanding the role of the Negro in American life. The Negro's early status has caused many misconceptions in the public mind. Richard Wright, author of Native Son, has expressed it this way.
Each day, when you see us black folk upon the hard pavements of the city, or upon the dusty land of the farms, you usually take us for granted and think you know us. But our history is far stranger than you suspect.
Perhaps the strangest aspect of the Negro's early history is his fight for freedom during our country's growth, while he himself was without the status of a free man. So here now is a phase of past Negro life that bears striking resemblance to events today. Reverend Theodore Parker, a well-known fighter for human rights, was walking the streets of New York City one afternoon a few years before the Civil War. As he turned a corner near Chatham Square, the wind flapped his long black coat, swirled dust about his feet. He paused to watch workmen dig an excavation. After a while, he noticed an old man nearby who, while intently watching the digging, was murmuring to himself.
Yeah? They must be here.
Reverend Parker heard this old man mumbling to himself. He walked over and said,
"What did you say, sir?"
The old man just kept repeating,
"It's here. I'm sure it's here."
"Sir, would you mind telling me what they're digging here?"
Digging. Yes. This is to be the foundation of a great warehouse. It's here. I know it's here."
Reverend Parker was fascinated with the old man's repeated mumblings, when suddenly from the deepest crevice in the excavation, a workman cried out.
"Look! Human bones! Thousands of dried out human bones!"
The old man smiled. His eyes were bright. He continued to mumble to himself.
"I knew it. There they are. Secrets of a generation."
"Sir, do you know something about those bones?"
"Still being carried off."
"Are you the slave catcher, sir?"
Yes, Sir Johnson, the best. That's my license to catch on.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, my Negro named Joe ran away.
What'd he look like, sir?"
"Oh, he was dark, about 5 feet 7 inches high. Very active fellow. Bought him at public auction from Captain Thomas Seymour a few years ago."
"How much is he worth to you?"
"To whoever captures him, I'll pay £3 reward."
"£3? It's a mighty small sum for that kind of a fella. Well, I got half a dozen in the lockup. Let's have a look."
"No more of blood for me.
Listen to him singing. Always singing.
No more options of love.
You see him, sir?
There he is.
That one, sir?
That's him.
Oh, he's been plenty troublesome, that fella. Talks about joining General Greene's regiment. Something about winning the revolution and being free.
No wonder the Redcoats took advantage of the situation. The enemy always takes advantage when the nation doesn't give the equal treatment to its all its citizens. Sir Henry Clinton, commander of the Royal Forces outside of New York, was a smart dog. When Negroes raised the slogan of freedom, the provincial Congress ordered the detachment to guard against what they called insurrection of the blacks.
General Clinton?
Yes, Major.
We've just received information that there's great unrest among the Negroes. The Americans won't let them join the revolution.
We should use that to our own advantage, don't you think, Major?
Perhaps we can win them to our side. We don't have to make any promises to them as to what will happen after the war. But we can put this unrest to good use.
How, sir?
Issue a proclamation. Without their blacks, the Americans will have few to till the soil and feed their armies. And fewer men to put in the field against us.
Bully idea. A proclamation it is, then. Here, I'll write it immediately. Sir Henry Clinton, in the name of His Majesty's government, to most strictly forbid any person to sell or claim right over any Negro, the property of an American who may take refuge with any part of the army. And I do promise to every Negro who shall desert the American standard full security to follow with these lines any occupation he shall think proper.
This proclamation had the immediate effect on Negroes. After all, they wanted to be free with the same depths of passion as whites who'd brought on the revolution. Numbers of them ran away from their American masters. It wasn't long before the American leaders saw their error. Soon an act was passed to enable Negroes to enlist in the colonial army.
Tom Clancy, sir.
Where do you live?
So near Spring Garden, about 4 miles and a half from town.
Tom, have you permission from your master to join us?
Yes, indeed, sir. Yes, indeed. Here's a note where he says so.
Oh. You're Captain Fletcher's man.
Not after the war, sir. They says if I serve 3 years, I'm free. Is that so, sir?
That is the law, Tom.
That's what I want, and that's what I'm willing to fight for.
Yes, Negroes by thousands joined the ranks of the American Army in the Revolutionary War, and they fought gallantly and bravely for our country's independence. Now let's walk down a piece to Broad Street. I want to show you a famous landmark, which explains still more the colored man's doings in the American War of Independence.
Where are we going?
I'm going to take you to a place called Fraunces Tavern.
So, this is the famous Fraunces Tavern.
The oldest landmark in New York City.
Something to drink, gentlemen?
Tea. You started to say something about free Negroes during the revolution, sir.
Oh, I did indeed. Well, here within these rough walls, a West Indian named Francis, they called him Black Sam for short, conducted a tavern in those days. People called it the Queen's Head Tavern.
Your tea, gentlemen.
You were saying?
Yes, sir. Sam Francis was a famous caterer.
Was he a patriot?
Yes, he was that. But when Washington made his farewell address to his officers in 1875, he chose Francis Tavern for the occasion.
I never knew that.
Yes, what if I told you that Phoebe Francis, the pretty daughter of Francis, saved George Washington from being assassinated?
Saved Washington's life?
As I heard the story, she was in charge of the Mortimer House on Richmond Hill at the outbreak of the Revolution. The mansion had been converted into temporary headquarters for Washington and his staff.
That Thomas Hickey will get you in trouble before it's all over.
But he's so nice. He's become General Washington's bodyguard. He left the redcoats for our side, didn't he?
Yeah, but I know you is heading straight for trouble. It ain't right. Ain't right. Something tells me he's no good. Now hurry up setting that table.
You know, Manny, they says everyone will be free after the war. Our people will be free, too. Won't that be a glorious day?
Sure will. But don't think you'll be free from worry. Now, don't forget, take that Hickey his supper upstairs.
He said he didn't want to eat now. He wants to talk to those men.
That's strange. Strange, I calls it.
Well, maybe I should disturb him. He hasn't eaten all day. Yeah, I'll take him something to eat on this tray. Tommy? He doesn't hear me. I better open the door a little and see.
Now, listen. Listen, you're the best man to do it, Hickey. Why, you're the closest one to him. You've got his confidence. After all, this is your job, man.
Well, here's the plan. While you carry out your part, the city will be set afire. We have men who will spike the cannons. Meanwhile, we will land men inside the city from warships which sneak in at night. Forces upstate will come down and attack the city.
It'll be just like a bolt from the sky, eh?
Then victory for us, once Washington is out of the way.
No! No! Manny! Manny! They're going to kill General Washington!
Hush your mouth!
But they are!
What do you think?
Tommy!
What do you think?
But I heard him.
But, sir, I've never finished telling you what happened to General Greene. Well, that nearly cleared my account my head. I can tell you, Reverend. They rallied from the 6 charges before they were overcome. Nearly 2,000 were massacred. The dead Negroes lay as thick as sheep in a fold. What you saw today being carted away as so much rubbish were the bones of those forgotten victims who fell in the American Revolution fighting for freedom.
This is Canada Lee speaking again. Little is said of the deeds done by America's black warriors, yet they fought and died that we might be a free people. What they did then, Negroes are doing again now. As a matter of fact, just last week, the famous Negro Combat Regiment, the 24th Infantry, formerly used as a stevedore unit, was allowed to fight in jungle warfare on Bougainville Island. The 24th is one of the best-trained combat units in the United States Army. Fighting is its business, not stevedore work. Given the chance to fight for our country, they can speed the day of victory for all of us. The Negro has helped to buy freedom for you and for me. He deserves the rewards of valor.
You've been listening to New World A-Coming, the third in a series of programs devoted to the Negro's contribution to American life. Starring in tonight's broadcast was Mr. Canada Lee, distinguished American actor. Mr. Lee Whipper, star of stage and screen and the old man. Miss Muriel Smith, star of Carmen Jones as Phoebe Francis. We invite you to be with us again next Sunday at 3:03, when New World A-Coming will have as its guest star, Hazel Scott. New World A-Coming is written by Roy Ottley and is based upon Mr. Ottley's book by the same name. The program is produced and directed by Mitchell Grayson. John Velasco assisted. Music by John Gart was conducted by Don Bryan. The theme song was composed by Duke Ellington, and A. Goldman was at the organ. Members of the cast included Maurice Ellis, Will Gear, Alex Scorby, Ralph Bell, Randy Eccles, John Ireland, James Wright, and Hilda Ottley. If you should like to attend a broadcast of New World A-Coming, you may obtain tickets by addressing your request to Station WMCA, 1657 Broadway, Zone 19, New York City. This was a public service feature of Station WMCA. This is America's leading independent station.